What's happening, everybody? You're listening to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us. Once again, this is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. And my name is Carl Brueggemann.
I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Today on the show, Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
I can't wait for this episode. This is episode 171. We're closing out the season. We only have a few episodes left.
What season is this? Six?
This is season... It's either five or six. I honestly lost track. Might be six. But yeah, we're closing out the season pretty soon here. This episode, I don't know, I've just been so excited for a long time. This series for the Genesis, the Sonic the Hedgehog series, has any
you may have heard of it.
Yeah, any... Ever heard of it? Anyone who's a fan of the podcast will know that it means so much to me. Like, really, when it comes to video game music, and in some ways music in general, the Sonic games on the Sega Genesis are so important to me. They really were an early influence to me musically. Like, I grew up playing these games like every day and just heard these tunes, sung along with these tunes throughout my entire childhood. So I just can't wait to dive in to pretty much all of the important tracks from Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles.
Absolutely. I mean, this is... To me, like, some of the best video game music of all time.
Absolutely.
Is going to be on today's playlist. I love Sonic music. I love the kind of direction that Sonic 3 took things in.
Yeah.
And that was similar to kind of stuff that continued on in Sonic.
Before
and
we get into the playlist, let's talk a little bit about that. Like, let's put ourselves back in the shoes of 1994 when this game came out. You know, for me, I remember it vividly, you know, being a fan of Sonic 1 and 2. This game felt so fresh and new. It really felt like the next level. I think visually, you know, having new sprites and new animations and just kind of a new palette, a new set of colors really helped to spice it up. But obviously the musical direction was so different than what Masato Nakamura did in the previous two games.
Well, I think there is an element of Sonic music that's always been kind of hip in, you know, 80s, 90s, poppy kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this really made it start to feel like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And it's cool now to know that Michael Jackson did work on a lot of the music to Sonic 3.
Right. Yeah, so anyone who, at this point, it would be surprising, but if anyone is not familiar with the story, Michael Jackson was hired to work on the music of Sonic 3, and it was around the time of a lot of lawsuits and a lot of legal troubles that MJ was in, you know, not just this time, you know, for a lot of his adult life, he's had so many legal troubles, but so for whatever reason, he kind of bowed out of the project. Some say that he wasn't happy with the sound of the Sega Genesis.
That's what I heard.
But for whatever reason, he bowed out, but he did work on the game, and now it's confirmed that there is music featured in the game that was composed by Michael Jackson. Most notably, the end staff role from Sonic 3 was composed by Michael. And Brad Buxer is a songwriter who worked with Michael for a lot of his career, so he also composed that. We found out recently in our episode 100 that Brad composed Ice Cap Zone, which was like a demo. This old band he was in the 80s, pretty much the exact same song. If anyone's curious, we can shoot you a link to that. But so many classic melodies in this game. And now today's episode, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, those were originally two separate games, but eventually there was a cartridge available that included both of them, which was called Sonic 3 and Knuckles. So that's we're going to be kind of lumping it into one game today.
Well, and if you put Sonic and Knuckles was an interesting cartridge because you could slide the little cap off the top and plug in Sonic 2 or 3 on top of it.
Right.
And if you plugged on Sonic 3, you could play the whole thing as one game, which is
pretty
supposedly,
awesome.
You know, how it was meant to be experienced or
And if you
whatever.
If you put Sonic 2 in the Knuckles slot, you could play Sonic 2 as Knuckles.
Right. So I think this is a little bit more detail than we typically go with episodes, but I think these games are very near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah, I'm sure most of you are very familiar with this music. So it's just going to be really fun to, because, you know, we've played a lot of this before. I would say maybe most of the tracks today we've already played at some point in the podcast, but to have context and to really play all these tracks back to back. And today we're going to be really talking about the Act 1 and 2 remixes, because one of the most brilliant things about Sonic 3 and Knuckles is how they have two different versions of every main stage theme. And the remixes, the way that they arrange it is so creative. So for the last time, let's give the list of composers of this game, because it's incredibly long. We have Brad Buxer, Chirico Jones, Jeff Grace, Michael Jackson, Sachio Ogawa, Tatsuyuki Maeda, Tomonori Sawada, Jun Senoue, Miyuki Takeoka, and Masanori Hikichi. And
it's
you can
really
also
a
add
beautiful blend of East meets
East and West.
West.
And then you can also add Howard Drosen, who composed some of the Sonic and Knuckles stuff. So, Well, you guys heard up top, that was the mini boss from Sonic 3. We're now going to move on to the data select screen. Here we go. Such a classic melody. You guys are listening to the data select screen from Sonic 3. So we're kind of going chronologically how you would experience the game. So in a lot of ways, most of the music you're going to hear in the first half of the episode is strictly Sonic 3 music. This was originally written for Sonic 3. This was the first Sonic game that you could have save slots in. So you got to actually pick which slot and you could save your game. It was a little bit tricky because there was never like a point where it said it was saving. But eventually, you know, when you beat a level and went on to the next one and then turned it off, next time you turned it on, it would be, you know, where you left off.
You know what I love about this piece in particular, and we've played this before and played remixes of it and talked about it before,
yep.
But I don't know, I really like that it feels authentically Latin, authentically jazzy, but it has a wonderful melody, and it captures sort of the innocent quality of video games,
especially in this era, right?
Really well. It's just one of those pieces that I think you sort of take for granted a little bit, because it works so well. It's very functional, but it's really one of the most beautiful melodies in the entire Sonic series.
Well,
but it's presented
in
a way that's really fun and lively and not really kind of slow and hitting you over the face.
And for me, like, the groove that it establishes with all the authentic Latin rhythms, that's kind of what Will's talking about as far as the authenticity goes. But the melodic style feels kind of like kind of vintage 16-bit era, really in a lot of ways Japanese video game music. But what's so great is this is one of my favorite examples of a piece that the average listener is going to hear maybe 5 seconds, because you select slot A and you press start. And, you know, most people aren't going to stay on it, but if you do stay on it, you're treated to this kind of, you know, Easter egg of all these different sections.
Yeah, the structure of the melody, I think, is really sort of perfect. Just like, just,
and this is something,
it has short phrases that build up, and they really have an arc, you know. It's just a very satisfying melody that goes where you want it to go, and it just feels very magical.
Well, this is something that I'm going to be talking about a lot today, and something why I love the music of Sonic 3 is because both rhythmically and melodically, it's like a 10 out of 10 as far as interest, engaging the listener. Because this melody, think about the rhythms of it. Da, 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 da. Very, like, striking rhythms. It's not by the books.
But that's
and
the
it's
thing.
A marriage
it,
of the two.
The melody does a good job. Yes, they're interesting rhythms. They're not conventional, but it uses that same building block for each little section of the melodic
sentence.
You have da, 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 da.
So you get used to that, and it feels like it's natural.
Yeah, so it's like...
It's brilliant.
It's really smart.
Well, now we're
going
to move on to the first stage theme of the game. This is Angel Island Zone. We're going to start off with Act 1. So great. This is Angel Island Zone Act 1, and we're just going to talk briefly about this before we move on to Act 2. So we're going to have a lot of these companion pieces on today's playlist. We actually have a lot more tracks on today's playlist than we typically do on an episode because we have a lot of these companions.
Oh, this makes me feel insignificant. This is a wonderful piece of music. Every distillable aspect of this tune, I think, is 100% flawless. All the intro, little is so catchy, really gets you in the right spirit. Innovative uses of the technology. Every melody, A section, B section, intro section, is so solid, and you have these answering phrases, and it's so lush and
the developed. Thing that I love about this is it's just uber melodic. It's one of the most melodic 16-bit tracks of all time.
But it's still groovy, it's still catchy, and I don't know, out of any piece I can think of on the Sega Genesis, it really gives you a very clear emotion. You know, every time I listen to it, I feel like I'm in the scenery. I feel the sunlight. I feel the jungle.
And if you're talking about on really a technical incredible. Level, showing off the Sega Genesis, the changing of instruments, the combination of the harsh sounds, the PSG arpeggios, the panning, the hard left, the hard right. It's just such an exciting sound.
Yeah. Also, all the instrument choices are great. You know, from
it sounds
the bass
tropical,
to
doesn't
all the
it?
Metallic sounding instruments, the organ type instruments.
It feels like a band.
It's so unique to the Sega Genesis.
Yeah, the reason I love
like
the music
else.
Of the Sonic series and why it sets it apart in the 16-bit era is it really feels like music that a band is playing. And that's what's different than a lot of the Mario music, because a lot of the Mario music feels like it's maybe approximating like pizzicato strings.
Well,
it's hard to say what
it's
approximating.
It's making its own, its own little band.
But this
it doesn't
feels
sound like
a Latin
exists.
Or a Latin rock band. All right, guys, now let's move on to Act 2 of Angel Island Zone. Doesn't this almost make you like upset how good it is? Like it's just amazing. We'll talk about why you love this. This is an arrangement of the Act One.
Well,
theme.
Here's what's so crazy is it really emotionally couldn't feel more different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like entirely in minor. It has a very different groove and energy to it, but all of those melodic elements work just as well, if not better.
Yeah.
In
this
arrangement.
Part is the you only know, part that's major.
It's boggles my mind because I really have never encountered that before. Typically, you know,
and
you hear
know
a minor
so,
variation of a melody or a major variation
particularly,
and it's out of place.
Particularly the bridge, you know, da 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 da.
It's
using
so
the same
gorgeous.
Rhythmic idea from the Act One version, but it's
in
taking
my
it to the minor.
Da, 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 da. Oh, I love
and the counter lines are so groovy. And then the very, very final kind of build up when it's ascending to the chords before the loop is just masterful.
Well, and as far as whoever implemented it, their choice of, you know, when to use the PSG and what to use it for, again, it really does feel like a band. All the channels really are treated like instruments. The PSG is treated almost sort of like an electric piano or something.
Yeah,
you know?
So Angel Island is most likely composed by Tamanori Sawada and Yoshiaki Kashima. This is information from one of the forums. There's some kind of people that are really into kind of researching and figuring out. There's even there's a forumer who really got into actually like emailing some of these people back in the day, like in the early 2000s. So according to him, he thinks that those two guys did Angel Island. But now I'm really excited to move on to Act 1 and 2 of Hydrocity Zone. We're going to start off with
Apparently
Act 1.
It's supposed to be pronounced Hydrocity.
Hydrocity. We always say Hydrocity. And this is one that was composed by Michael Jackson, Brad Buxer, and Chirico Jones.
I'm sorry. I'm never going to get over how happy that makes me. Michael Jackson worked on one of my favorite games. Ugh,
so this
so
is
exciting.
Act 1 of Hydrocity Zone.
Digimon.
This is just the best thing ever. This is Act 1 of Hydrosity Zone, composed by Michael Jackson and company. Can't you just hear him, like, singing those lines and recording them with his mouth?
Again, and I'm so excited to play the second act, but a brilliant difference between this one. This one has that great, funky swing to
it. It's like New Jack
Swing. And the second one is really sort of...
It's more straight in Latin.
It's so clever how they really go... And it's not the same thing. You know, what they did with Angel Island Zone for the variations is a completely different technique than what they did to distinguish these two apart. And that's what I love is, particularly in Sonic 3, the acts have truly independent musical quality. They're both separate pieces that have their own.
The last
strength.
Thing I want to say about this before we move on to Act 2 is the reason why it's so clear that this is MJ, even before it was confirmed, is what's so great about his melodies is even though he's not necessarily sitting down at a piano, a lot of times it's coming up with him in his head, he always uses like really out there extensions with like minor seventh, minor nines on his melodies. And it's something that jazzy sensibility was so just inside of him that even if he wasn't necessarily thinking about it, he's always like
he really hears it in his head clearly.
Jazz harmony is just so good. All right, now it's time to move on.
I mean, he's one of the few people that I do feel comfortable calling a genius.
Yeah, absolutely. R.I.P. Well, now we're going to move on to probably my absolute favorite arrangement in Sonic 3.
I mean, it goes beyond arrangement. It introduces
new
probably the best
material.
Melodic material of the whole game. And it's like, it's almost the definitive version of the melodies for Hydrosity.
I do think this is my favorite Sonic track. So let's take a listen to Hydrosity Zone Act 2. That's one of my one of my favorite pieces of music, period. This makes me so happy. And what we were talking about while we were playing is that final section, we don't need it. It's like it's already so good, and the song just keeps getting better.
Lord.
And really, like, there's nothing else like this. There's no other song in the world I can think of that has this specific combination of groove. Like, it's very well-crafted melody in all the different sections. The chords are great. It just feels so in the pocket. Like, I just want more of this kind of music. If anyone knows of anything that sounds like this, and trust me, I've looked,
I feel like I'm about to cry right now. Like, this is
it's just so
awesome. Good. It's so emotional. I mean, it feels very nostalgic to me, but really listening to it with any type of critical ear.
Yeah, the thing I have to say is
firing on all cylinders.
Just the melody, like the emotional power of the melody, if you were to play it slowly on a piano, is absolutely beautiful. And anyone who doesn't know video games or anything, if they heard you playing, they'd be like, that's a gorgeous song. What is that?
Right.
But when you combine it with the rhythm section, it's one of the funkiest video game tracks ever.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's so impressively consistent about all this music is the arrangements. You know, I mean, the melodies are great, the chords are great, they have good grooves, but all the independent lines are melodic and catchy in and of themselves. And I think that's really important for video game music because sound effects takes away from some of the musical channels while you're playing the game. So whatever cuts out, it needs to be musically satisfying. And I think that's sort of became like a kind of back burner type of concern for a lot of video game composers of this era, but when they figured out how to master it, it was like you can take any of these elements out and everything that's still there is still engaging.
Yeah, in
to
this in
to.
This same former Dissident 93, he claims that this act arrangement was done by Masayuki Nagao. He says the arrangement, but really, if that's the only crediting, it's also composition too, because most of it's original. Oh my gosh, so good.
I think the other thing that really impresses me about this is that it's not like one person did all the great stuff and everyone else.
It's a collaboration.
Like every track is amazing, and it's all so consistent. And the fact that it's different people and people that I'm not really familiar with, I don't know. It's this kind of beautiful, it gives me kind of like hope in humanity.
Absolutely.
That like all these people coming together can create something.
Yeah, and we'll talk
so
about this
special.
Later, but it's not just the composers, it's how it was implemented on the Genesis. So we're gonna get into kind of more of the technical stuff later. So now let's play one of the bonus themes from Sonic 3. This is Gumball Machine. Beautiful song. This is Gumball Machine, also known as Gumball Rag, from Sonic 3. This is my favorite of the bonus stage themes, and probably my favorite of the bonus stages when you're playing the game. It's super fun. Will, do you want to talk about musically, like kind of what you were a fan of this maybe growing up?
I like that the melody repeats that phrase again and again while the bass, or you know, sort of the tone center chromatically descends.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really effective, and it kind of has that thing that I often love in Koji Kondo's music, which is just sort of the melody acts as if it's unaware of the chord changes, and the chords are serving to make the melody feel more powerful, but the melody isn't like tap dancing around the chord progression where it just mm-hmm. feels like a series of arpeggios. It really has its own independence. That's what I love about this track. This one really feels like Jun Senoway to me, because
yeah,
it sort of captures that Japanese beautiful sunset evening quality that I think a lot of Masato Nakamura's music
right.
captured to me, and you know, Sonic 3D Blast, and whenever I hear, you know, good Jun Senoway, it
yeah.
gives me this sort of feeling.
Yeah,
and
I'm pretty sure this
some
is
of, if you distill some of the
track.
Musical elements, it really
well now we're gonna move on to the next stage theme. This is the third stage in the game. This is Marble Garden Zone, and we're gonna play one and two. So as soon as the loop kind of finishes for one, we'll fade down, and then two will kind of
start.
And
I would say this is the first instance where the act one and two start to be a little bit more similar, which
yes.
is fine, you know.
Yes,
I mean,
correct.
You can only have so
and
many.
Also I don't think every stage really needs or warrants a completely different
exactly
tune. So let's take a listen to Marble Garden Zone. Two version coming in right here. This is Marble Garden Zone. Such a funky, really a groove-centric track. Not as much in the way of like maybe like an emotionally powerful melody. I think it's all about that kind of really the funk. And for me, the hard hitting, the jam, those biting sounds, they really feel like musically they're evoking the spikes in this level because
right.
you know, so the sound effects are kind of using some of the same instruments. And
I do really like this melody though.
It's
like,
a great
it's
melody.
Very, it's simple, it's direct, it's really effective. It, I mean, it maintains
it feels,
the quality of this series.
Doesn't
really.
It feel like it evokes the vastness of the level?
Yeah.
And this bridge
this
section
bridge,
is so beautiful.
I'm so drawn to it. It has this gorgeous, otherworldly Middle Eastern quality to it, and it's emotionally ambiguous. It's dark and happy and twisted at the same time. Again, these emotions that they're dealing with are either so kind of primal and they really resonate with you, or they're really emotionally complex and help to create the feeling that you're like playing the game in the world. Especially Sonic 3 was the first time the levels were so vast and the music really has this grandiose feel to it. Feels like, you know, these places that you're traversing are more than just what you experience when you're running through the level, that you could take left at any point and end up in some other entirely different place.
Yeah, that's a groovy, groovy theme right there. All right, now we're going to move on to the first multiplayer theme from Sonic 3 we're going to play today. So Sonic 3 had a really cool competitive multiplayer mode, which was, you know, gameplay-wise a little bit stripped down, but definitely for 1994, you know, the fact that you can even have split-screen multiplayer on the Genesis was really, really a joy to play. So this was something, you know...
It's pretty lousy, though.
But you have to think about the context of how early split-screen multiplayer was.
I do think that it's just kind of nostalgic. I mean, I prefer Sonic 2's multiplayer. That had split-screen.
But it is crazy that Genesis is even it's even possible to do that. So anyway, the music...
Mario Kart had split-screen multiplayer, and that was, you know, legit.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and some of the music of these multiplayer stages are some of the best melodies in the game. This is an awesome track called Azure Lake from Sonic 3. Listening to Azure Lake. This is one of the awesome multiplayer themes from Sonic 3. A lot more simple, and what you hear with a lot of these multiplayer themes, which is kind of matching, you know, the gameplay, is they're a lot shorter loops, and in some ways they're a lot simpler emotionally than the single player stage games.
I've always loved this melody. I love this piece. I think it's so good. I really feel like everyone at the Sega sound team is really responding to, as close as you can get, is just an 100% musical truth. Like, particularly, you know, when listening to the beginning of this one, the counter lines are so satisfying. And then you have like that little counter line, it's so in the background and relatively unimportant, but even that has an arc, you know. Mm-hmm. It goes up and then it goes down, it resolves itself. It's like they're responding every little... It's kind of gets back to what I said before about the melodies, the counter melodies, the bass lines. Every aspect of it is tuneful. Every aspect is melodic, and it really feels like they're responding to sort of the universal musical truths.
Absolutely. One thing I want to say kind of before we move on, one other credit that we should give is the sound programmer of Sonic 3 and Knuckles. Not that he was completely in charge of all the arrangement and picking all the instruments, but really the person who was doing the implementation, who was doing the program work, and who created the sound driver for this game. His name is Yoshiaki Kashima. He was a sound programmer for Sega, and he worked on also Sonic 3D Blast. He based the Sonic 3 sound driver off of Hiroshi Kubota's Sonic 2 driver. So that's another name that we should just give props, because, you know, the sounds that we're hearing at the end of the day, a lot of his work is kind of what we're hearing too. So cool. Now we're going to move on to the next stage theme in Sonic 3. We're just going to play the Act 1 of this, because the Act 2 is very similar. We didn't feel like we need to do both of them. This is Carnival Night Zone, Act 1.
We'll be right back.
I love that long space before the loop. This is Carnival Night Zone Act 1. Definitely one of the most MJ-inspired tracks. I don't know if this was confirmed.
It really reminds me of Jam. I mean, both with kind of like the glass-shattering sounds, or if you remember the music video, the basketball going through the window and stuff like that, and just sort of all the hip-hop percussion elements, I think are
this is definitely kind of, for a lot of people, kind of assumed and considered to be partly worked on by MJ.
Right.
Also, when you think about his fascination he has with a lot of kind of childish things, like when you think about, you know, the rides and like the amusement park things that he had. I could see him really being into, you know, carnivals and wanting to do Carnival Night Zone.
The other thing that I love about this is it's so damn cool, you know. It's like this track, it feels so
self-aware. Almost like, it's self-aware.
It's parodying carnival music, but it's really like badass at the same time, which it's an unfortunate thing that Sonic the Hedgehog didn't maintain his coolness. Like, he feels so cemented in the 90s, like he can never escape from that. But I don't know, this track, I always thought it was like really hip.
It is very hip, absolutely. Well, I'm excited to move on to the boss theme from Sonic 3. Let's take a listen.
This is just a classic.
Gosh, this is wonderful. This is the boss theme from Sonic 3. The mini boss in this first game is what you would have heard, you know, the play-in track we played, which is kind of has that Knuckles beat. This is what you hear when you actually fight Robotnik.
And God, this is great.
Yeah, the theme, even in Sonic and Knuckles, when you fight Robotnik, this is the same theme they used.
I really love this.
One of the best boss themes.
It's really just kind of... all this music to me is so visual. It really...
You can't help but see
the
images
in the screen. This is such an epic boss theme. I really like Sonic boss music. I think it's all fantastic.
You know what I love about this? Is this totally carries the torch from Masato Nakamura's Sonic 2 boss theme. It really feels like the next...
I think it's better.
...iteration. I do think it's better.
It's so good.
But you know what I mean? It's clearly influenced by that.
I like the rhythmic motifs because, you know, in the intro, it has kind of the da 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 da, but then when we get the melody of da 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 da, it's so brilliant because it's like it's a way to make something that's inherently a little complicated, a lot of kind of repeated notes and very busy rhythms, but do it in a way that's catchy and hooky. And it's really a challenge not to sing along with this music while we're
one of the things that makes this such a great boss theme and so rare, it's a breath of fresh air, is that it is still fun and catchy, because so much boss music of almost any video game era is definitely tension filled and fitting for the game, but not something I necessarily would want to listen to. And this, I like listening to it.
There's something about the character of Sonic the Hedgehog that's communicated in the music, but I think it's really reflective of the character in the games, is that it's universal. It really speaks well to children, because if I'm really analyzing the emotional density in this track, it's very sort of broad. The nature of Dr. Robotnik is so kind of, you know, cliche mustache twirling, and for a piece of music to be able to capture that sort of clearly evil bad guy sensibility, but not feel like a parody or not feel like a phoned in kind of cliche track itself, I don't know, I continue to be kind of like marveled by that.
So now we're going to move on to the next stage in the game. Definitely one of the best musically. This is Ice Cap Zone, and this was composed by Brad Buxer. And anyone who's curious, on our episode 100, we kind of unveiled a really cool thing. This is actually based on an old 80s demo from a band, like an unreleased song from one of his bands that he was in the 80s called the Jetsons, and the song is called Hard Times. If anyone's curious, if anyone wants to hear it, you're really going to get a kick out of it if you like Ice Cap Zone, because it's pretty much the same basic skeleton of the song. So if anyone's curious, shoot us an email or a comment and I'll show you the link. But this is Ice Cap Zone Act 1. We'll be right back. You guys are enjoying Ice Cap Zone Act 1 from Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Today's episode is called, obviously, Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
Chords
so
have never be getting... been so catchy. Yeah. You know, chords in a bass so line are never better than they are in Ice Cap Zone. Really smooth it's voice beautiful. Lading the
well,
way
this
it
is
leads
a great
into
example.
The suspensions and
the reason why
great.
It fits well with MJ's compositions is because you're using a lot of the 9 and the 7. Much of this melody is centered around the 9 and the 7 over the minor 1.
It's so simple. It's so lyrical and
it's
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
And the bass line is very MJ.
Well, again, it's evoking the vastness of this area. This is an open ice world. And if you guys listen to Hard Times, melodically it's slightly different, but it has some of those really pretty leaps that
right.
this piece has.
It's the skeleton of the melody, and it has sort of the same
yeah.
bass line.
So now let's move on to the Act 2 of Ice Cap Zone. Such a great arrangement of that melody. You have those really interesting arpeggiated instruments, which give it a very... And actually, the bass line cuts out for the main melody in this arrangement. You know what's so cool? You know, once again, composed by Brad Buxer, who is one of MJ's crew. It's so cool. You know, this was left in the game one of the most famous and iconic themes in the game. And because for years, the official word was, yeah, everything that MJ and his team worked on was scrapped from the game, and it was only the
right.
Japanese people's music that was left in. Not the case, obviously. You know, this
right.
was written, obviously, by Brad Buxer.
Right.
Really cool
God,
stuff.
God, so good. Yeah, I love Sonic music. You know, I want to get to make a Sonic-esque. I mean, gosh.
Maybe we'll do a collaborative one at some point.
Yeah, that'd be... I mean, I feel like the world has enough volumes at this point. With
maybe just one
four
song.
Four Sonic-esque.
Let's just do one song together.
I would enjoy that
yeah,
very
much. Yeah, let's
do
that. All right, now we're going to move on to my favorite multiplayer theme from Sonic 3. This is the wonderful Endless Mine. This is such a gorgeous melody. You guys are listening to Endless Mine, which I'm fairly sure was composed by Jun Senoue from Sonic 3.
What
such
a great melody.
A powerful
I like
piece.
How it sort of pivots. You know, it has sort of a center.
Well,
you know, yeah.
One of the reasons we need to say, we keep saying, oh, what a great melody, is because it might go missed. Because it's kind of groovy and
right.
like funky, the average person might just obviously enjoy it, but they might not realize that in addition to that great groove, the melody is very crafted.
Well, and I think people that are true, you know, appreciators of, like, pop melody run into kind of the bias all the time of if it's accessible, if it's fun, mm-hmm. it must be sort of easy. Or, like,
yeah.
that's, like, the simpler thing to do, you know. But really,
well, when
writing
you think
a good...
About...
You know, I was watching an interview with Bruce Broughton, the composer of Heart of Darkness
yes,
and the Dinosaurs
yes.
theme, the Tiny Toon theme. We've talked about him a lot. You know, he was in an interview, and I just really liked how he was putting it. He was saying... writing a good melody is hard. It's really hard to write a melody.
Yeah.
And I think that's so true. And nobody says
it
that.
It takes
but
time.
That's really the truth.
Well, yeah. And, you know, one thing that is I think needs to be said is when you think about all the great pop hits throughout all the years, yes, there was an infectious beat behind it. But some people just say, I like music just with a good beat that I can dance to. But that's not it. That's not only it. That's not why those songs
I mean,
were
yeah,
hits.
That's not what you sing along
yeah.
with. You're not
the reason
like,
those,
singing the
yeah,
kick
reason, though, you know, Staying Alive is a hit is not just the funky disco beat.
Right.
It's the melody.
So, Staying Alive.
Oh, all right, God, now it's time to move on to the... We soon enough, guys, we will get to Sonic and Knuckles. Don't worry. It's now time to move on to the last stage in Sonic 3. So if we're talking about Sonic 3 and Knuckles, this is just, you know, it's not the last stage. It's the stage before Mushroom Hill Zone. So let's take a listen to Launch Base Zone Act 1 and 2. Awesome. You guys are listening to Launch Base Zone. That was Act 1, and Act 2 is coming in right now. Yeah, this is definitely, there's no question this was composed by the same individual who composed Marble Garden Zone. A lot of the same chords, a lot of the same exact instruments that are stabbing in the exact same way with the exact same panning, too. So I definitely know it was the same person. I have a feeling it was probably Masanori Hikichi. Just kind of, for some reason, reminds me of some of his other works. He's a very talented composer. If you remember, he actually was the guy who did Terranigma. For the SNES, and he worked on Ys 4, War Song, Dr. Robotnik. He's done a lot of really cool stuff.
You know, something that we haven't discussed, but that I think is absolutely relevant, particularly after maybe Michael walked off of the project, which is, I think, when probably a lot of the Japanese composers probably did step in for some of those compositions.
True.
I think there was a conscious effort to say, oh, Michael Jackson was working
Let's
on this?
Let's keep this
Let's
going.
Let's try to make it sound like him. And that's why some of the most Michael Jackson sounding tracks aren't written by Michael.
Well, however the decision was made, even if it was under the table, of, okay, we are going to keep Ice Cap Zone, we're going to keep Hydrosity, we're going to keep the Staff Roll. The fact that those songs were going to stay in the game, the rest of the songs, they're like, okay, well, now we have to do our impression of Michael Jackson.
Right.
And maybe they just had a great time doing
that. Or at the very least, just keep consistent with the music that's been written.
I'm so glad. And that's what's so magical about these two soundtracks.
Something like this has never occurred before,
and
it'll never be recreated. And we're just so lucky that it gets to be in our medium, you know, that video games get to kind of own this special, wonderful little once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Cool. So now we're going to play the final boss of Sonic 3, because I just thought this made the most sense of an order to play this here, because if you're just playing Sonic 3, this is where you'd face the final boss. Let's take a listen to the final boss. This is awesome. You guys are listening to the final boss from Sonic 3. Oh my gosh, this is so good.
Carl, I'm going to say something to you, and I mean this with 100% sincerity. I love this track, but I think that your final boss theme from Sonic-esque 2 just blows this out of the water.
Oh, dude.
In my opinion.
You're
just melodically
too kind.
And everything. Like, I think if that song was for this boss battle, it would be better.
You're too kind. Man.
I really mean that, and I
well, this
don't
was
give
what
false
influenced
praise.
It for sure. That was you definitely modeled after this one. Well, guys, we're going to play one more track before we move on to Sonic & Knuckles. It's the last multiplayer track we're going to play today. Just leads me to realize that, you know, I would say the bulk of the music, at least that we're playing, is from just Sonic 3. That was just included in that game. There's in some ways more music because you have the multiplayer stuff. So,
sorry, just something that's so catchy about that. Let's see. I love that. Sorry, that was just in my head.
No, that's cool. All right, now let's move on to Chrome Gadget. A beautiful and progressive piece of music. This is Chrome Gadget, multiplayer theme from Sonic 3. One of my favorites, maybe my second favorite multiplayer theme. It's so good. Really out there. Chords are super striking.
The consistency in the Sonic games is so great, which is why I'm particularly offended by what ultimately happened to Sonic music. You know, once it got onto the Saturn and the Dreamcast, and I know there's a lot of like hardcore fanboys, but I'm sorry. I mean, especially after listening to this, there's no touching this stuff. Even the newer Sonic music that's kind of good with the violin type rock stuff, like it just does not hold a candle to any of this. And I like Jun Senoue, but he is not the Sega sound team, and he's not Masato Nakamura either. I mean, Sonic 1, 2, 3, and Knuckles really have. Greatest music.
Yeah, and another name, the last name I'll say today, Masaru Setsumaru, an absolutely kind of legendary name if you're really into the kind of the history of the Sonic music on the Genesis. He's another sound programmer that just did so much awesome work. So he's definitely another person we have to thank for this wonderful music in this game. So now we're going to move on to Mushroom Hill Zone, Act 1 and 2. This is the first stage in Sonic & Knuckles. But if you're playing the Sonic 3 & Knuckles version, this would just be another stage. Let's take a listen to Mushroom Hill Zone. You guys are now here in Act 2. Interesting how Act 2 kind of picks up the tempo and kind of makes it a little more straight. Mushroom Hill Zone. I guess we could call this the first stage in Sonic & Knuckles.
Yeah, I really like this song, but it's so intrinsically linked to the level and my feelings of the game, which is just that this is kind of a disappointment.
Coming from the previous levels.
I think it's just when you play Sonic & Knuckles, this is the first level? Like, right. Not as exciting.
One of the reasons for that, I do think there are some awesome levels in Sonic & Knuckles. For me, particularly, Flying Battery is amazing. Sky Sanctuary is so good. But there were some duds. You know, this and I do think Sandopolis is very boring. I think the pressure was off them because once they realized that, okay, we're able to release Sonic 3 in time for the holiday, and now we have more time to just work on these levels, maybe they just kind of got a little bit lazy, or maybe they were honestly tired of the project.
Well, and I think if you compare it to something like Sonic 2, something like hilltop zone. You know, it's like, if this is just a unimportant level, this music is fine and the level's fine. But I think just as the context is the first level of its own independent game,
it does have
lacking.
Some cool elements to it. You know, there are some kind of fun elevators and kind of some interesting things that you don't see in other levels.
But I even feel like the music, like even right off the bat, it's like, what cool, exciting riff are we going to get? Especially coming from Angel Island Zone. Yeah. And we just get...
When I think of this level, I always think of that pump. You know that pump that you use?
Yeah. The little pump swing.
That's cool.
I think of those, that weird like robot chicken bird thing that like blows you and has the big gullet or whatever.
Absolutely. All right, now we're going to move on to the mini boss from Sonic and Knuckles. So when you play Sonic...
This is great.
Yeah, when you play Sonic 3 and Knuckles, this is the mini boss that's played for the entire game, actually. So it's the same thing as if you would put Sonic 3 onto the top of Sonic and Knuckles. So you'll never actually hear the mini boss that we played in with. You'll always hear this mini boss. This is kind of... always reminded me of James Bond a little bit, but a wonderful boss name. Let's take a listen to the mini boss. Short, sweet, super, super catchy and good. This is the mini boss from Sonic and Knuckles. That last section does have a very emotionally powerful melody, and it's so great. It's another good example. It's another good example of why this soundtrack is so amazing, is because you have really kind of interesting arpeggios and the chords are good, the groove is good, it's effective. But then that last section, you get some emotional weight there. And you were saying, what does that remind you of, that last section?
Kind of is very Yoko Shimomura to me. It reminds me of like Street Fighter.
Yeah. Good observation. Well, now it's time to move on to one of my favorite themes from Sonic and Knuckles. This is Flying Battery Zone, Act 1. You guys are listening to Flying Battery Zone Act 1, and we'll just say a little bit before we move on to Act 2, but again, I think this was composed by the person who did the previous track we just played, because it features that same kind of James Bond chromatic thing, it just very, very quickly. So it does feel like a counterpart, you know, to the mini-boss theme we just heard, you know, so it kind of feels like it's all in the same game space. But again, it evokes the vastness of this level, because this level is so great, because there's times when you're inside this factory, but then all of a sudden you go out and you're, like, high up in the sky. Yeah. It's just a badass level. It kind of is a combination of like Metropolis Zone, Sky Chase Zone, just like Winged Fortress Zone. It's like all three of those zones from Sonic 2 combined.
Absolutely. I really like this track. I love this level. I think it's a really kind of... It captures the...
It's one of the best Sonic levels.
The feeling of it, too. It feels very like this internal, mechanical... really exciting, like Megadome type of feeling.
Yeah, and this strikes me as a theme that was composed around the same time as some of the other classic early ones from Sonic 3.
Well, I imagine they were all composed, because you mean on Sonic 3, the sound test, you can hear some of the music from Sonic and Knuckles.
Absolutely.
And some early like level titles and stuff.
Awesome. Now we're going to move on to Act 2 of Flying Battery.
We'll be right back.
arrangement. You know, this is a very effective arrangement because it still captures enough of what was, you know, memorable playing the Act 1, so you're still hearing the same melody. I mean, you're hearing that James Bond progression, which this particular composer really enjoyed. But you're hearing just kind of a slightly more, I guess, biting and even more kind of intense take on it. You know, it's a great way to ramp up the emotions for the second act.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really kind of like the
it's a great intro.
I think that works really well. And I like the new riff. Yeah, I always thought this one works really effectively.
Well, guys, I couldn't be more excited to move on to this week's track of the week. This is the special stage from both of these games. This is the same theme that you play in Sonic 3 and in Sonic & Knuckles. Anytime you get to the 3D stages when you collect the blue spheres, super
this
fun. It holds up.
This music is truly one of a kind. It's
yeah.
absolutely magical, wondrous, happy. Like, I've never done drugs, but I feel like this is what being on drugs feels like.
Yeah, and this one, again, according to that forumer, this one was composed by Yoshiaki Kashima. Let's take a listen to Special Stage. Doesn't get better than that, folks. That's the special stage from Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
I particularly like it the faster it gets. I feel like this track is really meant to be, you know, a few clicks faster.
We could have played that version where it constantly speeds up.
Love that.
You know, since this is track of the week, that's the version how about I'll post for the YouTube video. I'm going to post the version that speeds up so you guys can check that out.
This just makes me feel so spiritual.
This is like a drug. The closest thing music can be to a drug. It just makes you feel euphoric. Yeah, anyone who hasn't played this game, this is our recommendation of this week. Go out and play on a virtual console, on an emulator. Play Sonic 3 and Knuckles. It's so fun. These special stages are amazing. I'm very, very good at them, I will say. I can definitely
you've
get
always
all emeralds.
Been really good at them. They kind of stress me out when they go faster.
I love it. The faster, the better. I love.
I like the sound effects, too. Like, this track is best with wibble, 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 wibble.
Oh, it's not complete without those, yeah.
Oh, seeing those blue, like, seeing those blue spheres just gives me such joy. Like, I want to have them more than any.
And when you
any
hit a red sphere, it just makes you want to just crawl in a hole and die. All right,
maybe that's why I love the color blue so much.
Now we're going to move on to Sandopolis Zone Act 1 and 2. Guys are listening to Sandopolis 1 and 2. The Act 2 is coming in right here. In some ways, it's a fitting track level. I just think the level's kind of boring. Right. Not a big fan of it. And this music,
and the theme is just kind of ugly. Generic. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just the instruments they chose are very harsh. It's just never something I would enjoy listening to.
I think they did a decent job of trying to make a melody out of something this sort of cliche. But I think one of my biggest pet peeves in video games is desert music. Like, they just go to the same Arabian cliches. And first of all, I find it a little offensive sometimes.
Yeah.
I kind of like it in something like Bomberman, where it's not having anything to do with the desert. They just genuinely like those kind of music, and it's invigorated with something new. But
I never
like it as a stereotype.
Yeah, well, Junji Kuma, you know, has a love of that music, so that's why it feels more earnest
right.
when she does it.
Well, and I guess it's less about, like, I don't want to be on the, like, oh, this is offensive, but it's just, it's uncreative. You hear it over and over again. Like, I prefer something like Chrono Trigger, where it's like, it's using different sort of ethnic instruments, and it really is a unique composition. It doesn't just feel like a cliche where I kind of get sick of, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, now we're going to move on to definitely by far the most influential track for me for my Sonic S compositions. This is just an absolute classic. Can't say enough good things about Lava Reef Zone. We're going to start off
pretty good, but again, Sonic and Knuckles just can't hold a candle.
Yeah,
to
but
Sonic
the music is amazing, particularly Act One. So let's take a listen to Act One from Lava Reef Zone. Yeah, Will was saying this is the closest you're ever going to get to a sequel to Hydrosity, and it really feel like the sequel to that.
I love this melody.
It's super, super
Such
good.
An interesting contour, very unique rhythmic elements, and again, it's sort of an ambitious phrase, but it really commits to it, and it makes you buy... You know, I really like a melody like that, where the form of it is very satisfying, but the individual melodic nugget is kind of complicated, and it kind of has to win you over a little bit, because that's where you get those melodies that, you know, this doesn't sound like anything else. I mean, my favorite melodies are probably ones that really are just completely timeless and have that kind of perfect quality to them, but I really admire melodies where they're able to, like, feel perfect and be completely unique and don't sound like anything else.
I think you're right. Yeah, here you guys are hearing the Hidden Palace theme, also known as Lava Reef Act 2. You know, it features that same arpeggio.
I think that's one of the things that was most influential to you, is that type of rhythm.
Absolutely.
And just kind of the general shape of the melodies, a lot of the rhythm.
It's just a simple, but...
And, like, the arrangement choice.
It's a simple, but just undeniable track that is just, it works so well, and it's an absolute classic for me for video game music.
Right.
Kind of even silly to listening to it and talking about it, because it just feels like almost like...
It's inevitable. It's perfect.
Inevitable.
You know, you don't need to discuss it.
Now we're going to move on to... Oh, it looks like we have one last multiplayer stage that I snuck in near the end of the playlist. So technically from Sonic 3, but you know, this is all one soundtrack pretty much today. This is Desert Palace. I love this one. Let's take a listen. Good track that makes me smile. This is Desert Palace. Unfortunately, it was only a multiplayer theme. You know, I think I remember why I included this at this point. I wanted to play it after Sandopolis. It was like, why couldn't this have been the theme for Sandopolis?
I know, right? Like,
so
and why couldn't the level feel like this? I mean, it's like you can't blame the music because the level's slow and drab and boring. And it's like, why couldn't it be like a fun desert
this
level?
Feels more like classic Sonic, fast-paced, fun.
Right. Oh, so good. You know what I love? The multiplayer music in Sonic 3 feels like a nod to Masato Nakamura.
Yeah.
It really sounds like Sonic 1 and 2.
Absolutely. Well, now we're going to move on to one of my favorite themes from Sonic & Knuckles. This is Sky Sanctuary, and one of my favorite levels. This was most likely composed by Tominori Sawada. It's a beautiful track. Let's take a listen to Sky Sanctuary Zone. Such a beautiful and soaring track to evoke the sky, and it's fitting that Will was saying it reminds him a lot of Gradius, Life Force.
Oh, God, this is
beautiful.
Good.
And you were also saying, well, what were you saying first about what this kind of feels like to you as far as the Sonic goes?
This is sort of, I feel like, the first step in, like, the next chapter of Sonic music.
Yep.
Like, some of the stuff that you get in, like, Sonic Adventure or... you know, the beginning, the intro of Sonic CD or mm-hmm. stuff like that. It definitely reminds me of that. I love this melody, though. To
it's
me,
so
this
good.
Is kind of like when you get the ending of Sonic 2, that beautiful mm-hmm. Melody, kind of that. This has that type of quality to me because I think they use this in the credits of Sonic and Knuckles. And it's just, it's so good. It really captures
yeah.
that soaring sensibility. It's a really beautiful melody. I like that. Like
that's a chord progression that is
really
all over
fun.
16-bit video game
yeah.
music. You hear it in a lot of arcade games. It's just very, very awesome. All right, now we're going to move on to the only stage that was ever repeated the title. Death Egg Zone was
yeah.
a stage in Sonic 2, and then they, for some reason, did another Death Egg Zone
yeah,
in Sonic
and
Knuckles.
New and improved Super Death Egg.
Super, super hard and really badass. Let's take a listen to Death Egg Zone Act 1 and 2. Now you're hearing Act 2, which I think is probably the best version out of these two. This is just kind of makes it a little more pleasing. It's
it really
beautiful.
Does feel like Sonic, I gotta say.
It does feel like Sonic. Yeah, this was one of the tracks that Tim brought in on his episode when we did the Favorites with Friends. He just has a lot of fond memories of this stage.
This is another example. They're really getting a lot of mileage out of a very simple sort of chord riff.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty impressive.
Really cool.
You know what I... what I love about the FM synthesis is you really get the quality of like a distorted guitar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those synths really kind of distort and clip and
in
sound
a good way.
Buzzy. And it's so effective if you're trying to go for something gnarly like this.
Great way
well,
of putting
we're approaching
it.
The end. I think
yeah.
this is going to be our last
this
track that we're going to
talk
about.
The last track we'll talk about. This is the Doomsday Zone, one of my favorites.
This is so good.
This is just badass. I have a track in Sonic-esque Volume 4, my most recent volume, that was very, very heavily modeled and inspired after this.
Yeah, I remember years and years ago being in the car and mm-hmm. remembering the melody to this and not being able to remember what it was from, because when I
yeah,
think of Doomsday,
I remember that day.
I remember thinking of, like, when you think of Doomsday Zone, I think of just kind of shredding craziness, but this
it has
one
a beautiful
has just a
tune.
Awesome melody.
Yeah.
It's probably the best final boss theme mm-hmm. in all of Sonic.
If anyone's curious, the tune off of Sonic S Volume 4 is called Astral Destructor.
Well,
that
and
was
you,
the
do,
one that
you
was...
did a song called Space Chase,
which
Zone,
was also kind of
that I think
by this,
I
yeah.
may even like prefer, that has sort of a similar Doomsday quality.
Now let's take a listen to Doomsday Zone. I'm so sad that it's over, guys. I had such a blast today focusing on the music of Sonic 3 and Knuckles, one of the most nostalgic episodes I've done in a while, and I gotta say, one of the best playlists we've had in months. This is just so much fun. Thanks, guys, for indulging us today.
Yeah, such great music. And I mean, of course you love this. I mean, this has got to be great. I mean, it's music like this. This is why we started the Super Mercado Brothers podcast. I think
absolutely.
We've grown a lot. We've really expanded our diet of video game music.
But it's good to come back home
but,
again.
I mean, at the end of the day, I still stand behind, like, the tracks that I came into the podcast loving are still my favorite.
I agree.
And stuff like this, you know, this makes me just have a love, you know, it's and like, a pride for video games and game music. And
it's like being like when you're 13 and you love pizza and you say that's your favorite food, and then you grow up and you try other things. You try Thai food and you try Indian food and you like it, but still in your heart you know the pizza is still
pizza's
your favorite.
Pizza's delicious, yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for sampling our pizza this week. Now we're going to play out with the staff role of Sonic 3. And what's cool about this, again, composed by Michael Jackson, almost the same kind of chord progression, like exactly the
listen
same
to
chord
Stranger in Moscow.
Yeah, Stranger Than Moscow.
One of my favorite MJ songs.
Which is a song by Michael Jackson off of his History album.
So good.
Very kind of moody and emotional.
I love that song. Like, I like that song better than I like the staff role.
It's
so
super
good.
Beautiful. So, guys, that's another thing you can check out this week. But yeah, this is the staff role from Sonic 3. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. I'm really excited. Next week, we have original showcase. I can't believe it's already time for another one of those.
Ooh, yeah. That's going to be great because we've both had sort of a lot of video game projects, and we've done a lot of writing since the last original showcase. And we had those Hello World albums. So I think there's going to be a lot of cool stuff to share. So that's going to be super fun.
It's going to be a good time. Once again, my name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out.